have car chases and explosions and all kinds. This movie it's powerful stuff, and I guarantee you will never forget this movie. This is one of these movies that will just stay. Some movies stay with you. This one will. It will stay with you. And I have to admit, I mean, I've seen maybe half a dozen Bette Davis movies. There's still so many more I would love to see, but this is really one of my favorites because.
Yes.
It is just,
it's so fun. I wasn't expecting. Good movie.
I wasn't expecting
and
this.
A romance novel, a tragedy, all in one. I mean, it's delicious.
It is.
It's totally delicious. Well, that brings us to our next movie. Well, guess who? Bette Davis. We already told you we're going to do two Bette Davis movies. The Little Foxes. Thank you. I was drawing a blank. So go ahead, my beautiful colleague. Tell us what is The Little Foxes
about?
You're
so bad yourself.
Fanny's in the house.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you, darling. Thank you. Go on, darling. Go on.
Okay. So The Little Foxes. This is a movie that takes place in the Deep South. Again, this is around the turn of the century. This movie has to do with a family. You've got Bette Davis as a sister. She has a couple of brothers.
Oh my gosh.
And she is married. And this family has been probably one of the, it's like the whole town pretty much is centered, their economy is centered around this family.
They run
everything. Mm-hmm. And then they have an interesting proposal that is made to them to this very lucrative, but they have to invest. This man comes from, I think, New York City. And so he wants them to like join with him. And I think it has to do with like cotton production or something along those lines. But anyway, so this is what they're faced with now is how are they going to come up with the funding and to be able to, they want to latch on to this star, and they see dollar signs. And the thing that you have to understand is there's also, who's also in Bette Davis's orbit as she plays this character, is she has a daughter.
Teresa Wright,
who is of marriageable age back then. She's probably like maybe around 20 or something like that. And then she has a husband that you don't see at the very beginning. Herbert Marshall. The wonderful, incomparable Herbert Marshall.
Yes.
And you know he's ill and he's not there at the time that the movie opens. However, he will become a very, very important character in all this.
Yes.
And the two brothers are played extremely well.
My gosh.
But let me tell you.
Those two jackaninnies. Oh my gosh. No, go ahead.
Well, there is an interplay with these three siblings. She's the two brothers and Bette Davis. And you can see as the movie goes on that there is, there's greed, and each one is very selfish. And you start to learn a little bit more about the characters because one of them has a wife and a son. And you see the way he treats his wife.
Oh my God!
And she is a very sympathetic character.
I can't remember her name. She's a wonderful actress.
Mm-hmm. She was, and she plays this part where your heart goes out to her because of how
she's a broken woman. Mm-hmm.
Yes, she has such regrets. She talks about this marriage and the child, and the things that she says about the child, even though she's this sweet and very likable person, and then about the husband, and you see this like tragedy unfolding in her life, and you feel so badly for her. And then Teresa Wright, she is very intuitive. She loves her father. She has a beautiful relationship with him, and her mother is trying to like dominate her quite a bit. But you see her growth in this movie.
Right.
And she has a suitor who's interested in her. But what the family wants to do is, they're thinking about having, now remember, you know, this was commonplace in those days, but she has her first cousin, and his name is Leo, played by Dan Duryea. I'd never seen him looking this young before, but he is an employee at the bank. And So they're talking about a possible matchup between Bette Davis's daughter and about this first cousin, Leo, this her brother's son. I know, first cousins,
yeah,
I know.
They did that back then.
I know,
you know.
I know. Yeah, this was, it's shocking just now.
You kept
but,
stuff in the family.
I know, I listened to that and went, oh my gosh.
That's
you know?
Gross. I would never marry those. None of my, they're disgusting.
Yeah, and so it was just the interplay with, it looks like you have the three central characters here as Bette Davis and her two brothers, but you start to see there is planning. They try to keep things from each other, and they find out that her husband has a little bit of, well, some money he's been, you know, mm-hmm. holding back that he plans to pass down because he's in very poor health. But anyway, I don't want to say too much about the movie, but you have to remember there's the title, and it tells you a lot about the movie.
Right.
And it's The Little Foxes, mm-hmm. and there's a verse in the Bible
right.
that talks about little foxes that want to go after the tender
spoil
grapes.
The vine, yeah.
And spoil the vine. Mm-hmm. And so when you see this movie and you hear the term being used, you are very much aware of why it has that
right.
title and exactly who the little foxes are mm-hmm. and what they're doing and how they're trying to spoil this. But I have to tell you, Bette Davis in this movie plays a totally different character. And she is very much trying to not only manipulate her husband and her daughter, mm-hmm. but her two brothers as well.
Right.
And in turn, the two brothers are trying to set up an alliance and do some things
right.
to manipulate. So you
right.
see all these
oh,
little
it's,
things
it's very
going on.
Shakespearean. It's extremely
very,
Shakespearean.
Very, oh,
yeah.
That's an excellent way to compare
yeah.
it. Mm-hmm. Very much so.
And so I'll just backtrack two things. I love the juxtaposition of Bette Davis, iron fist strong, just queen killer, against the other woman kind of around the same age with her, but she's, Bette Davis' character might be a little, the sister-in-law, total opposites for different reasons. And then I hate to throw that word around, feminist, when they say, is this a feminist movie or something? I don't think it's a... The only reason why someone would maybe say that is because this was one of the rare occasions where the woman, the female character, bossed the men around. Don't you think?
She did.
I mean, they were afraid of her. They were terrified of her. And she was not the oldest. No.
No, I didn't get the impression.
She might have been in the middle or the baby. I don't remember. I'm not really clear, but she was not the oldest of the three, and she was the boss. And I kept wondering, how did she? But it showed. But the brothers, that showed how they were bullies. One was an idiot. Was he almost like a freaking like just an idiot? The they had the one with the wife, and then they had the other one. Wasn't he just?
Yeah. Oh, one was a little bit, not as bright as the
yes,
other.
Yes, it is,
was,
like,
yeah,
so, like,
right.
Okay, I'm
not
kind of, yeah, but
yeah.
Anyway, they weren't going to tell her what to do, and like I said, that they figured out, okay, well, the only way we're going to take her down is if we join together, but everyone was so for themselves, and the brothers only formed an alliance to try to get Bette Davis, you know, but anyway, that... And just a little trivia, Tallulah Bankhead, because this was a play, and she originally, and I said I would have loved to have compared and contrasted the performances, because, you know, once you see Bette Davis in a role, you cannot picture anyone else in that role but her. I'm like, I have nothing against Tallulah Bankhead. I've seen her in some movies. I think she was a better stage actress than a film actress, hence since, you know, she didn't do a lot of film. But Bette Davis, and so that is the aura and the mystique of Bette Davis playing these really strong killer female man-eater characters. But you love her because she was a witch. Regina, that's her character's
yes,
name.
Yes, it was Regina. Again,
oh, she was horrible. And so, okay, so before George and I discussed this movie, I told her, I said, there's a scene in this movie that is so delicious, just so, just cutthroat, and there was no blood drawn, there was not a punch thrown, but it was so killer. And I said, George, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'll say, you will see it and you will figure it out. So she came back to me and immediately knew the scene. So we can say the scene without giving away too much. Do you think we should not say the scene?
Oh, gosh. Well, I want them to be watching for it because it's unmistakable. They will see it. But the thing is it's not... She didn't have to say a word.
No, there was no words.
No
word. Not a sound was uttered. But you just watch. Don't you turn your head? Yeah, you're appalled.
It's not violence.
You're appalled and amused at the same time.
Like,
you're still like, oh, you.
I'm incredulous. Right. I don't believe this. But look at Betty Davis's face.
She